Yeah. Well, good morning, Christian Family Church. We praise the call to make it in the house of the Lord this morning. Amen. Got a new scenery today. Right? Anybody excited to be the church? Lord, we glorify you. We thank you, Lord, that you just come through this place, Lord. Let your Holy Spirit reign in this church this morning, Father. Thank you. Heart that is broken.
See that. freedom. And when we see that grave, we see Jesus. We thank you, Lord, that the tomb is empty. The stone has been rolled away. And Jesus is alive. And he lives within us. Christ in us, the hope of glory. Greater is he who is in us than he that is in the world. We thank you, Lord, for your life that you've given for us. We thank you for redeeming us. We thank you for saving us. We thank you for your mercy. We thank you for your grace. We come before you today with grateful hearts, and we worship you with all that is within us, Lord. We bless you. We love you today. We thank you for your presence. Lord, your word says that the yoke would be destroyed because of your anointing, and the burden would be removed. And I thank you for removing burdens from people, and I thank you for destroying yokes in people's life today. In the name of Jesus, in Jesus' name. Do you know that sickness is a yoke? It's a bondage. It's not the will of God. God doesn't want you to be sick. Jesus took our sicknesses. The Bible says that he himself took our infirmities. He bore our diseases. And by his wounds, we were healed. Jesus paid the price, not only for us to be forgiven from our sins, but he paid the price for us to be healed from sickness and disease. So what I want you to do here this morning, if you need healing in your body, I want you to know it is the will of God for you to be healthy. It is the will of God for you to be well. It is not his will for you to be sick. The Bible says in 3 John, in verse 2, it says, "Beloved, I wish above all things that you may prosper and that you may be in health, just as your soul prospers." Say, God wants me healthy. God wants me to be healthy. Say, Jesus took my sickness so that I could be well. I want you to lay your hand upon yourself if you need healing in your body. If you have any kind of sickness, any kind of ailment, no matter what it may be, just lay your hand upon yourself today, because I'm going to pray for you. And as I pray, the healing power of God is going to flow into your body in the name of Jesus. Are you ready for that? Say that. Let me pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you it is your will for us to be well. Jesus, you paid the price. You took our sickness. And so right now, I speak to every sickness, I speak to every disease, and I command you to go from God's people in the name of Jesus. Sickness, you leave. Pain, you go. Every ailment, every infirmity, go in the name of Jesus. Lord, I release your healing anointing. I release your healing power. I thank you, Lord, that your healing anointing flows right now and touches every person. I thank you for driving out all sickness, for breaking it, destroying every yoke, for lifting every burden. Thank you for healing, restoring, Father. In the name of Jesus, we give you all the praise. Just lift your hand and say, thank you, Lord. I receive my healing. I praise you for healing me. I thank you, Lord. Thank you for healing me. Thank you, Father. I worship you. I bless your holy name in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Yeah, give the Lord praise. Won't you please turn to someone and just welcome them. Shake their hand. Smile at them. Tell them you're glad they're here this morning.
Morning. It feels like the upper room, doesn't it? Well, if you wanted to warm up, you just had the opportunity, right? Right now. Praise God. Well, there's a strong anointing of God in this place. It really is. And I don't just say that. You know, when you worship God, like when you begin to sing about what Jesus has done, and you begin to thank God, and you say, my soul just worships you, something happens in the atmosphere. It changes. And I really sense, just like Pastor Steve said, you know, healing, people were being healed right where they are. I really sense that there were people that came in today that maybe you don't even know why you're here, or maybe you just didn't really feel like being here today. But I just saw that as you walk through these doors, something is going to take place in your life, that you're going to walk out a different person. You're going to walk out with a freedom that you didn't have before. So whatever it is today that you need from the Lord, this is the place to receive it right here. It doesn't get any easier than this. Just receive it from the Lord. Amen. Wonderful. Well, so good to see you in church. I like to be up here a little while so I can check out who's here. You weren't here when we started singing. But good morning. Welcome to church. As you know, we usually meet in the ballroom, but there are just a couple of occasions through the year where we meet in here. And we make the most of it, right?
Yeah.
We're going to be together in heaven for a long time, so we might as well just get in a bit of fellowship right here, some close fellowship. But we especially want to welcome anyone who's visiting for the first time. I did meet some new people before the service, and if you've come into our church today, I don't know how, if someone invited you, or maybe you just saw a welcome in the lobby, or saw the TV program. However you got here, I don't believe it's an accident, but we just want to welcome you. So if you are here for the first time, we're not going to make you stand up or embarrass you in any way. We'd just like to hand you a gift bag right where you're sitting. If you are here for the first time, would you just raise your hand where you are? God bless you. Welcome. Awesome. Thank you, guys. Anyone else? Just raise your hand. Thank you. Wonderful. We were so glad that you joined us this morning. In that gift bag is a couple of things. One is a teaching CD from Pastor Steve. We put it in there hoping it'll be an encouragement to you. If you want to just put it in your CD player and listen during the week. And then there's a white card. If you just take a moment and fill that out. At the end of the service, we'll pass an offering bag by. Just drop that white card in. It gives us the chance to just call you, find out how you enjoyed the service. So we appreciate you being here today. We appreciate those who have come for the second time and the third time and the thousandth time, right? We're glad you're here today, and we have an expectancy of what God is going to do in this place. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you,
Pastor Steve. Thank you. Praise God. Well, yes. Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
It was cold this morning, wasn't it?
Yeah.
I put my sweater on. I thought it's a good day to wear a sweater.
Yeah.
Now I'm hot. Yeah. I'm going to keep it on just to look good for you. Praise God. Well, as my wife said, you know, we booked this hotel. We started meeting here in June, so they had some events that were already on the calendar, and so there was a big wedding here last night, and it was carrying on today. I don't know if it's the same wedding or two weddings, but I think it's the same wedding. Oh, it's two different weddings, because I thought, man, that's two. I thought it was the same wedding, 2 days. Two different weddings. So for today, we're in here, but look, the one good thing about it is we saved $2,000 by being here. I can't make you feel a little bit better. I mean, I like the ballroom, but this is $2,000 less. And then on Friday night, how many came to prayer meeting at my house on Friday night? We had my house packed out on Friday night. We had 50 people in my house. And we had such a wonderful time of prayer.
Yes.
It was just powerful. I want to thank everybody for coming. And I've decided, how many of you believe it's really important for us as a church to pray together?
Yes.
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 I said, how many people believe that it's important for us as a church to pray together?
Yes.
Things happen when you pray. And so what we've decided is on the first Friday of every month, we're going to have prayer meeting at my house.
Amen.
Now, until it gets to a point where we just literally cannot do it, but I would love my neighbors to say, what is going on here? Those cars going on there. So the first Friday of every month, you are invited. It's just so, you know, we'd love to have you come visit our house and get to know you. So first Friday of every month, 7 p.m. is our church prayer meeting. Will you make a note of that? Thank you. Anyone else?
Yeah.
Make a note of that. First Friday of February, we'll be praying again. I also want to encourage you, if you missed last Sunday, I would encourage you to go back to the table out there and get last week's CD. I spoke about your vision determines your future. The importance of our vision. And then also, you can get from the ushers, get one of our vision, goal, resolution sheet. Because that goes together with the CD. When you listen to the message, what you want to do is, as you pray, seeking the Lord, you want to write down your goals for this year. Do you know, until you've written it down, it's not a goal, it's just a wishful thought. It's just a wish. But when, if something happens, the scripture says in Habakkuk 2 verse 2, write the vision down and make it plain. You need to write down, what are you believing God for this year? Something happens when you put the pen to paper. So get one of those sheets, get the CD. I want you to have your best year in 2017 that you ever had. How about you? Move the speak a little bit over for me. Or just move it to the side and move it back. I don't want to fall over it. Thank you. That would, I know you'd enjoy it. I know you wouldn't, right? You don't want to see me fall over that speaker. It might be funny. It's not going to happen. All right. Also, I want to mention to you that in the month of January, we, as a church, we always like to start out the year with a time of fasting and prayer. And the reason is because, you know, there's some breakthroughs that only happen when you fast and pray. One time in Matthew chapter 17, I think it's Matthew 17, a father brought his son to Jesus' disciples. His son was having seizures and was falling into, you know, he came, he said, sometimes he falls in the fire, sometimes he falls in the water. I brought him to your disciples, but they couldn't help him. They couldn't help him. So Jesus said, you know, this kind does not come out except by fasting and prayer. And then he said, bring him to me. And then Jesus prayed for the young man, and he was totally set free. But the point is that there are some breakthroughs that do not happen until you fast and pray. There is tremendous power in fasting and prayer. And so this next week, I'm going to be fasting and praying. And I want to encourage you to join me to fast and to pray. Now there's, you know, fast means we're talking about restricting your diet. Now there's, you know, that you can do a total fast where it's just liquid. Some people just drink water or just drink juice. That's one way of total fast. And then a lot of people do the Daniel fast, which is where you eat really just fruits and vegetables. You don't eat meat. You don't eat sugar. You don't drink coffee or alcohol or any or bread or. You just really eat fruits and vegetables. And there's so much information about fasting. I mean, if you just go and Google what is the Daniel fast, you'll get the whole diet, exactly what to eat. So that's one way to fast, is the Daniel fast or a total fast. And then some people I've heard about, they're fasting from sun up to sundown. They're fasting sun up to sundown. There's different periods. You know, Jesus fasted for 40 days. And then the Bible says when he finished fasting, he came out in the power of the Spirit. That's where he overcame the enemy, was during his time of fasting and prayer. So Jesus fasted and prayed 40 days. Moses fasted and prayed 40 days. I mean, that's a long time. You can fast from 40 days all the way to one day. Some people just some people just fast one day. You could do one day, 3 days, 7 days, 14 days, 21 days, 40 days. You should, you know, just seek in your heart what you want to do. Now, obviously, the greater the sacrifice, the greater the reward. Right. Jesus said, when you fast, He didn't say if you fast. He said when you fast. In other words, it's expected. When you fast, he said, anoint your face. Don't appear unto men to be fasted, but a fast done in secret unto God, because when God sees you fasting in secret, he will reward you in the open. So that tells me there's rewards for fasting. God rewards you when you fast. But we don't fast and pray to try and impress people. We fast and pray to seek God, and God sees it in secret, and the Bible says he rewards us openly. So this week, I'm going to fast and pray. I'm going to be fasting and praying for our church. I'm going to be fasting and praying for the will of God to be done in my life. I'm going to be fasting and praying for breakthroughs, for blessings. Do you know the way you start the year sets the tone for the rest of the year?
Yes.
The way you start the year. So that's why I like to start the year by fasting and praying. So this week, I'm going to fast, I'm going to pray, and I want to encourage you to take some time this week and fast and pray. How many of you will fast and pray, whether it be one day or 20 days or 40 days, you'll fast sometime and pray this month of January? Raise your hand if you'll say, Pastor Steve, I'll join you, I'll fast and pray. Awesome. Awesome, awesome, awesome. Let me pray for you. Lift your hand again. Lift your hand again. Father, I thank you for every person that is making that commitment, that decision to fast, to pray, to seek you. Because we want your will, Lord. I thank you for giving them the strength. I thank you for giving them the strength, for enabling them. I thank you, Lord, that by the power of your Holy Spirit, you will enable us to fast, to pray, to seek you in the name of Jesus. I thank you, Lord, that as we fast and pray, that you speak to us, you bring us, you give us understanding of the vision you have, you reveal your will for our life. You guide us, you direct us, you strengthen us. Thank you for breakthroughs this year, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. If you believe that, say amen. I want to thank all of our volunteers, our wonderful volunteers, our children's church teachers who are ministering to the kids right now, our ushers, our setup team, our musicians, our singers. Give them a big round of applause. I don't want a Sunday to go by without them knowing how much we appreciate them, because I was here, came by here yesterday, and you know, Miguel, the team, and Dan, and we were setting up, and then they were here early this morning. This doesn't just happen, but we appreciate it, don't we?
Yes.
This year, we're going to get another building. Amen. We're going to move into our own building. There you are. It's not, to be honest with you, because I kind of feel a bit like Jesus. Because how many of you know that sometimes Jesus preached in the house? Sometimes Jesus preached in the temple. Sometimes Jesus preached out on a hill. Ever heard of a message called the Sermon on the Mount?
Yeah.
Greatest message Jesus ever preached. You know where he preached the Sermon on the Mount? Wasn't in a fancy cathedral. It was on a hillside. Jesus fed 5,000, was out on a hillside. Jesus sometimes preached in the wilderness, sometimes preached in the house, sometimes preached in the temple. Or sometimes we're in the ballroom, and sometimes we're in this room, and sometimes at my house, and sometimes we're somewhere else. But it doesn't matter where we are, we're the church.
Yeah.
We're not a building, you are the church.
Yeah.
Isn't that right?
Yes.
Did you bring your Bible to church today?
Yes.
Hold up your Bible if you brought it. Wave it around. Good! We're getting more Bibles appearing in church all the time. It's wonderful to see. If you don't have a good Bible, get one at the book table. Download YouVersion Bible on your phone. But let's pray. We're going to get into God's Word. Are you ready for God's Word this morning?
Yes.
We're going to be speaking about taming your tongue. Father, we thank you. Thank you for your Word. Thank you that your Word is what brings us life. Your Word is what brings us freedom. You said that if we abide in your word and your word abides in us, that truly we will be your disciples, and that the truth, we'll know the truth, and it will make us free. And I thank you for bringing freedom. I thank you that your word brings freedom to every person. I pray, Lord, that you will bring revelation, bring understanding. Speak to every heart by your word today, Lord. Let us be changed by your word today. Help us to tame our tongue, Father, to speak blessing and not cursing, in Jesus' name. If you agree, say amen.
Amen.
All right, tell your neighbor, tame your tongue this year. Tell your neighbor, it's time to tame your tongue. Last Sunday, I spoke about how your vision determines your future. How that you will never leave where you are until you look up. God says to Abraham, lift up your eyes from where you are. Look to the north, look to the south, look to the east, look to the west, because everything you see, that's what I'm going to give you. You've got to look up from where you are. I'm talking about vision. Today I want to speak about taming the tongue, because what is holding many people back is their tongue. The things that they are saying over their own life, a lot of people, what's holding them back is their own tongue. In James chapter 3, read with me from James chapter 3, look here in verse 2. It says, if we could control our tongues, we would be perfect, and we could also control ourselves in every other way. If you can control your tongue, you can control every area of your life. We make a large horse go wherever we want by means of a small bit in its mouth. A small rudder makes a huge ship turn wherever the pilot chooses to go, even though the winds are strong. In the same way, the tongue is a small thing that makes grand speeches, but a tiny spark can set a great forest on fire. It goes on to say, among all the parts of the body, the tongue is a flame of fire. It is a whole world of wickedness corrupting your entire body. It can set your whole life on fire, for it is set on fire by hell itself. People can tame all kinds of animals and birds and reptiles and fish. It says, but no one can tame the tongue. It is restless and evil, full of deadly poison. Now you say, but basically, you're talking about taming the tongue, and the Bible says no one can tame the tongue. Let me tell you what it's saying. You cannot tame the tongue in your own strength. You need the power of the Holy Spirit to enable you to control your tongue. That's what it's saying. It wouldn't tell us to do it if it wasn't possible. Sometimes it praises our Lord and Father. Sometimes it curses those who've been made in the image of God. In other words, you know, it carry on. Verse 10 says, blessing and cursing come pouring out of the same mouth. Brothers and sisters, this isn't right. We shouldn't have blessing and cursing coming out of our mouth. What should we have? Blessing, right? We should just have blessing coming out. We shouldn't speak with forked tongue. 1 minute blessing, 1 minute cursing. No, we need to tame our tongue. We need to control our tongue. A lot of people don't realize how their tongue is directing their life. It's one of the main reasons that people get stuck in life, because they haven't learned how to control their mouth. The scripture compares it just like you can steer a horse with a little bit in the mouth. And just like a captain can steer an ocean liner out into the, you know, the ocean, and even though storms come, he can that rudder is what enables him to direct the ship. Your tongue directs your life. Yeah. Your tongue is controlling your life. Yeah. With our tongue, we can bless our life or we can curse our life. Our words, say, my words are directing my life. A lot of people, you know, they are cursing their life with their words. They speak negatively over themselves. Every time that you say, you know, I never get any good breaks, Pastor Steve. I'll never be able to afford that. I could never break this addiction. I'm never going to meet the right person. Listen, you just cursed your life. Stop cursing your future. Sometimes the enemy doesn't have to defeat us. We defeat ourselves. You've got to pay attention to what you are saying. Are you blessing your life or are you cursing your life? Because if we are going to accomplish our dreams, family, if we're going to become everything God created us to be, then we've got to learn to tame our tongue. Yeah. Proverbs 18:21 says, death and life are in the power of the tongue. Death and life and death. My words have the power of life and death. Your words are powerful. The Bible says they have the power of life and death. You can either speak death or you can speak life. Amen?
Amen.
Say, my words are powerful.
My words are powerful.
Move on for me, Natalie, if you would. You know, Pastor Theo is is my pastor. I got saved under his ministry as a teenager, and he said that his mother remembers her saying this. For years, she would say, I'm never going to live past the age of 50. I'm never going to live past the age of 50. Guess how old she was when she died?
50.
She was 50. She was 50 years old. She died.
She said for years, I'll never look past the age of 30.
Proverbs 6 verse 2 says you are snared by the words of your mouth. You are trapped by the words of your mouth. The contemporary English version says you're trapped by your own words. Let me tell you, the only thing that is holding some people back from a healthy marriage, from a good relationship, from a promotion, is their own mouth. When you say, I'm never going to be able to get back in shape, it becomes more difficult. You just made it harder. When you say, I never get any good breaks, that stops favor that was ordained for you. If you say, I'm not that talented, I don't really have a very good personality, that is setting the limits for your life. That's calling in mediocrity. And you may have, you know, you may have been snared in the past, trapped by your words in the past, but I believe today you can turn that around. You can tame your tongue. You can come out of that trap.
Amen.
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 Amen. Let me tell you, every chain is being loosed. Every stronghold is coming down. No weapon formed against you can prosper. That's what the Bible says. You've got to do your part. You've got to start speaking victory over your life. You've got to learn how to tame your tongue. Speak victory. Speak life. That means you don't say everything you feel. I don't say everything I feel. I might think it, but I'm disciplined not to say everything that comes into my mind. Proverbs 12 verse 6 declares, the mouth of the upright will deliver them. Your mouth can either deliver you or your mouth can trap you. Your mouth can bring blessing or your mouth can bring cursing. You can either be snared by your words or you can be delivered by your words. Yeah. Depends on whether you speak positive or whether you speak negatively. In Psalm 107 verse 2 it says, let the redeemed of the Lord
say so.
Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. It doesn't say let the redeemed of the Lord believe so. Let the redeemed of the Lord hope so. Let the redeemed of the Lord think so. Now that's all good, but you've got to take it one step further. You've got to say so. If you're going to go to the next level, you've got to say so. If you're going to accomplish your dreams, overcome that obstacle, break that addiction, you've got to say so. You've got to start declaring it. It's got to come out of your mouth. That's how you give life to your faith. When God created the worlds, He didn't just think them into being. He didn't just believe that there would be light and lands and oceans and animals. God had it in His heart, but nothing happened until God spoke. If you read the account in Genesis, it says, and God said, let there be light, and there was light. And then down in verse 6, then God said, let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters from the waters. And the next verse, it says, and it was so. And then it goes on and it says in verse 11, then God said, let the earth bring forth fruit, the grass, the herb that yields seed, and the fruit, the tree that yields fruit according to its kind, whose seed is in itself upon the earth. And it was so. God said it, and then it happened. Then God said, let there be lights in the firmament of the heavens to divide the day from the night. Let there be for signs and for seasons and for days and for years. And it says, and let there be for lights in the firmament of the heavens to give light upon the earth. And it was so. And then it goes on, and what is the next verse? 24, God said, let the earth bring forth the living creature according to its kind. Cattle, the creeping thing, the beast of the earth, each according to its own kind. And it was so. And then finally, God said, let us make man in our image according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, over all the cattle, over all the earth, over everything that creeps upon the earth. And of course we know, we here, ain't we?
Yeah.
God's thoughts didn't set it into motion. God's words is what caused it to come into being. And yet it's the same principle today. You can believe all day long and not see anything happen in your life. You can have faith in your heart. You can have big dreams in your heart. You can be standing on the promises of God and never see anything change. What's the problem? Nothing happens until you speak. I said, nothing happens until you speak.
Yeah.
Instead of just believing you're going to get out of debt, you've got to say so. You've got to declare every day, I'm coming out of debt. I'm the head, not the tail. I will lend and never need to borrow. That's what the scripture promises, doesn't it?
Yes.
Job 22, verse 28, it says this. You will also declare a thing and it will be established for you. You will declare it and it will be established. But it won't be established if you're not willing to declare it. So that's why last week I said to you, write down your vision, write down your goals, write down your dreams. Write down what you want to see happen in your life. Areas that you're struggling in, where you want to improve. Write those things down. Write it down like it's already done. And then every day declare the decree. Read it out loud a couple of times every day. It's not enough just to think it. Something happens when you speak. You have to prophesy your future. I said you have to prophesy your future. Whereas when you speak, just like when God spoke, things happen. Opportunities find you. Good breaks and promotion. Ideas begin to track you down. Instead of just saying, instead of thinking, well, I hope that I get over this illness. Steve, I'm praying that I'm gonna get better. That's good, but you've got to take it one more step and start declaring it. I'm strong. I am healthy. I will live and not die. I've been healed by the stripes of Jesus. With long life, God's going to satisfy me. God is restoring my health. By His stripes I've been healed. You've got to declare it out of your mouth. That's what activates your faith. Instead of just hoping you have a good year, instead of just hoping you accomplish your dreams. Listen, hope is good, but nothing happens until you speak. Before you leave the house every day, you should be declaring, 2017, this is my year. Things have shifted in my favor this year. God is about to show me something I've never seen before. This is my year for acceleration. This is my year for breakthrough. This is going to be the best year of my life. Opportunities are coming after me. Amen. If you speak life and blessing, when you talk like that, let me tell you, the angels go to work. They're opening new doors and lining up the right people and arranging things in your favor. All of us are hoping and believing and praying about something. Right?
Yes.
But the question is, are you giving life to your faith by speaking out what you're believing for? In Psalm 91. In verse 2, David said, I will say of the Lord. I will say of the Lord. He is my refuge. He is my fortress. He is my God. In Him I will trust. Surely He shall deliver me from the snare of the fowler and from the pestilence. I will say of the Lord, surely He shall deliver me. Notice the connection. I will say, and then He shall do. See, God is saying in effect, if you're bold enough to say it, then I'm bold enough to do it.
Yeah.
See, have you declared that your dreams are coming to pass? Have you ever said out of your mouth, I will pay off my house. I will start my own business. I will get my degree. I will lose this weight. I will see my family restored. Have you ever declared out of your mouth what you believe in God for?
Amen.
Whatever God has put in your heart, it needs to get in your conversation. You've got to talk like it's going to happen. You've got to talk like it's already on the way. Hello? I started getting in. I got involved in a business a couple of months ago. One of my goals, I want to be financially independent from the church. I want to have a separate income where I'm not dependent on a salary from the church. It's one of my goals. So I got involved in this business called Kiani. You know what I'm saying? By summertime, I will be a diamond. That's a certain rank. I will be a diamond by the summertime. That means when I'm a diamond, it's $15,000 to $20,000 a month. I am declaring right now, I am going to be a diamond in Kiani by the summertime. Now, I just won a car, a dream car program. The company's going to buy for you a car, give me $2,500 down, pay the payment. So when I come driving in next month in my brand new car, Puma, don't, I know you're all going to be happy for me.
Yeah.
Because it was a blessing that I owe you. Could have been saying, when I get married, when I graduate from college,
right.
When I become a nurse, or when I become a doctor,
yeah.
When I see my family restored. Yeah. It's not if.
Yeah.
It's when it's going to happen.
Yeah.
It's your faith being released.
Yeah.
See, what's the opposite of Psalm 91? David said, I will save the Lord, and surely He will deliver me.
Yeah.
The opposite is, I will not say, and then He will not do. I will not say, and then He will not do. If you want God to do, you've got to declare it.
Yeah.
That's the principle. Nothing happens till you speak. I remember when we first started our church in Cape Town. When we first started our church in Cape Town, I remember we had a room about this size, and when we first started, it was half full, and people would come in late. They were notorious. In Cape Town, they call it African time. They come in late. And so I would tell them, the day's going to come when this building's going to be so full that if you don't get here early, you're not going to find a seat. And it happened. That building got so full, we literally couldn't fit one more person in. You think this is fantastic? I would be preaching, there'd be people all around here, sitting on the stage, not sitting on the floor. Remember? We'd packed them in every little crook and cranny. Nook and cranny. And sure enough, if you didn't get there before service started, you'd be sitting on the floor. We're full here today. I'm declaring. This year. We're going to fill that ballroom like this. We're going to fill up that ballroom like this. We can put 400 people in that ballroom. This year, that ballroom is going to be filled in Jesus' name. Do you agree with that? Can you say it with me? Say, this year, we're going to fill that ballroom. Say it like you mean it. This year, we're going to fill up that ballroom in the name of Jesus. What are you saying of the Lord? What are you saying of the Lord? Oh, Steve, my problems are so big. My dreams seem so impossible. My marriage is so messed up. Looks like we'll never be restored. No, don't talk about how big your problem is. Talk about how big your God is. When you say of the Lord, He's my healer, He's my way maker, He's my dream giver, He's my restorer, He's my vindicator, He's my provider, the Lord is my help, He's my peace, He is my victory. That's when God will show up and He will do more than what you can ask or think.
Right.
Are you declaring victory over your life, over your family, over your career? Nothing happens until you speak. That's what I want you to get tonight. Today, I want you to get that. I will say of the Lord, and then He shall do. And you get up in the morning. You need to make some declarations over your life. Whatever God's put in your heart, declare it's coming to pass.
Amen.
I declare every day, I'm increasing in the anointing of God.
Yeah.
I'm increasing in the wisdom of God. I'm increasing in favor. I'm increasing in influence. Every message I preach is getting better. Jesus said in the pastor's team, keep on saying it. I'm going to keep on declaring it. Jesus is building His church. I declare it.
Amen.
I declare when people turn me on TV, they can't turn it off. Listen, you've got to speak favor into your future. You've got to speak life. You've got to speak blessing. I declare my children will fulfill their destiny. Their gifts and talents will come out to the full. They will supersede anything that I have done. In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
When you declare favor over your life, when you declare favor over your future, God will make things happen that never should have happened.
You've got to have this attitude. I'm coming out of debt. I'm saying so. 2017 is my year, and I'm saying so. I will overcome every obstacle, and I'm saying so. Family, when you keep saying what you keep saying, that's what you are moving towards. You might be struggling in your finances right now, but if you keep declaring, I am blessed, I am prosperous, I have the favor of God, my God is supplying all of my needs, my God is opening doors for me. Family, every time you say it, you're moving towards it. You're getting closer to seeing it come to pass. Amen?
Amen.
You might be facing a sickness. Maybe it doesn't look good. But every time you declare, I'm healthy, I'm strong, I'm getting better, you're moving toward health, you're moving toward wholeness, you're moving toward victory. Maybe you're struggling with an addiction. Every time you declare, I'm free, this addiction does not control me, you're moving toward freedom. You're moving toward breakthroughs. Now here's the catch. This works in the positive, and it also works in the negative. In other words, if you're always saying things like, I'm so unlucky, I never get any good breaks, then you know what? You're moving toward bad breaks. If you say, my back has been hurting me, I don't think I'm ever going to get well, it's been hurting me for like 3 years, you're moving toward more sickness and more health. More sickness and pain. When you say, I've been through so much, I don't think I'm ever going to be happy again, you're moving toward more discouragement, sadness. If you will change what you're saying, you will change what you see.
Amen.
Say, if I change what I'm saying,
it'll change what I'm seeing.
Again, if I change what I'm saying,
it'll change
what I'm seeing. Romans 4 verse 17 says this, God who gives life to the dead and calls those things that do not exist as though they did. God calls things that do not exist as though they did. And the New International Version says, God calls into being things that were not. The Amplified Bible says, God speaks of non-existent things that He has promised as if they already existed. God speaks of things that do not exist as though they do. The New Living Bible says He creates new things out of nothing. Do you know God wants us to do the same thing that He does? God wants us to call things that do not exist as though they do.
Right.
That was Romans what?
Romans 4:17. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 4 in verse 18. It says, verse 13, excuse me. It says, since we have the same spirit of faith. We have the same spirit of faith as who? As God. According to what is written, I believe, and therefore I spoke. We also believe, and therefore we speak. We believe, and therefore we speak. We've got the same spirit of faith that God has. God said, light be, and light was. God spoke the world into existence. Isn't that right?
Yes.
We've got to do the same thing. We've got to call the things that do not exist as though they did. In other words, I don't feel healthy, Pastor Steve, but I declare I am healthy, I'm healed by the stripes of Jesus.
Yes.
It doesn't look like I'm doing well financially. It doesn't look like I'm going to ever be able to get into my own home, but I believe and I declare my God is supplying all of my needs. That's calling things that do not exist as though they did exist.
Yes.
Isaiah 57, verse 19, God says, I create the fruit of the lips. I create the fruit of the lips.
Mm-hmm.
You see, often we do the opposite of this. We call things that are as if they're always going to be that way. In other words, we just describe the situation. Oh, Pastor Steve, you know, prices are so high. I don't see how I'm going to make it. You're calling in more struggle. You're calling in more lack. Mm-hmm. Well, I can't stand my job. You know, Pastor Steve, my boss gets on my nerves. You're calling in more frustration. You're calling in more defeat. You know what you should be saying? My boss likes me. I am his favorite. My boss wants to bless me. You say, Pastor, but it's not true. I know, but call the things that do not exist as though they did. And pretty soon you'll be amazed. Your boss will be like, stop favoring you. Oh, what's happening here? Don't use your words to describe the situation. Use your words to change the situation. Look what Jesus said in Mark chapter 11, verse 23. Are you getting anything out of this today? Mark 11, 23, Jesus said, "Assuredly, I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things that he says will come to, will be done, he will have whatever he
says."
Jesus said, if whoever will speak to the mountain, if you believe that the things that you say will come to pass, you will have whatever you say. Jesus called us to speak to the mountains that we face. Most of the time, instead of speaking to the mountain, we speak about the mountain.
Yes.
Have I told you about my mountain? Have I told you about my problem? You ever ask someone, how are you?
Yes.
And 20 minutes later, you regret it? Jesus said, if we believe that the things that we say will be done, then we will have whatever we say. What are you saying over your life? Because if you want to know where you're going to be 5 years from now, listen to what you're saying about yourself today. You're prophesying your future.
Amen.
Amen. Every time you say it, you're moving towards it. But if you're always saying, I'm so out of shape, I'm never going to lose weight, you're moving toward the wrong thing.
Amen.
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 Move on from me, Natalie. I've heard people say, when you hit 50, it's all downhill from there. Are you kidding me? Look at me, I'm 85. I look good for 85, right? Carol? They are declaring they're going downhill. They're calling in poor health. They're calling in weakness. I realize we're all going to get old. We're all going to eventually die. But don't make plans to go downhill. Don't start speaking defeat over your life. The scripture says about Moses, it says Moses was 120 years old when he died, and his eyesight was clear. He was as strong as ever. He had sharp eyes. He was strong as ever. He was 120. I remember Kenneth Hagin. Anyone ever heard of Kenneth Hagin?
Yeah.
Kenneth Hagin was a great man of God, and I learned so much from him. He went home to be with the Lord. But I always loved the fact he said that when he was 83, I heard him say this, he was 83. He said he and his wife had a great sex life, and they were 83. That's a man after my own heart. That's an inspiration. I don't think that's too much information. I'm telling you, 50 is not all downhill. In spite of how you feel, in spite of your medical history, your family medical history, every day, listen, you need to declare over your life, everything about me is getting better and better. My youth is being renewed like the eagle. My bones, my joints, my ligaments, my blood, my organs, my memory, my vision, my hearing, it still looks good. I still look good. My youth is being renewed. Like Moses, I'm going to finish my course with my eye not dim, as strong as I ever was. See, when you talk like that, you're moving toward renewed health and energy and vitality. Amen?
Amen?
It's a lot better than getting up in the morning, looking in the mirror, and saying, oh man, I'm getting old. Look at those wrinkles. Look how bad I look. Look at this gray hair. I'm so out of shape. You keep moving toward that. In 5 years, it's going to be so scary. You need to tame your tongue. Don't talk about the way you are. Don't talk about the way you want to be. You're prophesying your future. Amen? Maybe you're in a difficult time today. Instead of complaining, which will just draw in more defeat, your declaration should be, I have grace for this season. I am strong in the Lord. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. The same power that raised Christ from the dead lives in me. He's giving life to my body. Those that are for me are greater than those that are against me. No weapon formed against me can ever prosper. My God is giving me the victory. Let me tell you, when you say that, strength comes to you. Courage comes to you. Confidence comes to you. Endurance comes to you.
If you go through a disappointment, you go through a loss, you go through a bad break, instead of saying, you know, I don't know how this happened to me, it's so unfair, that's just going to draw in more self-pity. No, your declaration should rather be, God promised me beauty for ashes, He promised me joy for my mourning, I'm not staying here, I'm moving forward, new beginnings are in my future, the rest of my life is going to be the best of my life, this is my year for divine acceleration and divine increase. Let me tell you, family, when you talk like that, you're moving toward double for your trouble. You're moving away from self-pity, and you're moving toward God's goodness in a greater way in your life, family. One of the best things you can do is take a few minutes every day and make these positive declarations over your life. Write down not only your dreams and not only your goals, not only your vision, but make a list of any area that you want to improve in, anything that you want to see change, and put that list somewhere private. You can see it every day. And before you leave the house, take a few minutes and declare that over your life. Speak it over your life. If you struggle with self-esteem, if you feel less than, you need to declare every day, I am confident, I am valuable, I am one of a kind, I am chosen by God, I'm wearing a crown of favor, I am wonderfully and fearfully made, I am a masterpiece. When you start talking like that, you'll go out with your shoulders back, with your head held high. I mean, you'll feel 10 feet tall. When you, I'm not just talking about being positive. I'm talking about speaking life. I'm talking about speaking the word and the promises of God. If you struggle with your weight, declare, I am in shape. I am healthy. I am my ideal weight. I am disciplined. I'm full of energy. I declare that over your life. Yeah. Instead of some ladies, I've known them 20 years, and for 20 years they've been saying, I just got 5 more pounds to lose. I just got 5 more pounds. And for 20 years they've had 5 more pounds to lose. You know why? Because they've been saying it for 20 years. It may not be true right now, but if you keep saying it, you're going to move towards it. Instead of living guilty and condemned, focus on your past mistakes. No, rather declare, I'm forgiven. I am redeemed. I'm the righteousness of God in Christ. I am pleasing to God. I am living holy by the grace of God. In Joel 3 verse 10, it says, let the weak say, I'm strong. The weak say, I am strong. It doesn't say let the weak talk about their weakness. Call 5 friends and they'll explain your weakness, talk about your weakness. No, you cannot talk defeat and expect to have victory. You cannot talk sickness and expect to have health. You cannot talk lack and expect to prosper. You've got to send your words out in the direction that you want your life to go. When you're in a tough time and someone asks you how you're doing, don't go through the sad song of everything that's wrong in your life. No, oh man, my back's been hurting. Traffic is bad today. My boss is not treating me good right now. The dishwasher broke down. The goldfish died. The dog doesn't like the cat. You know, no, all that's going to do is draw in more defeat. You need to turn it around. You need to have a report of victory. When someone asks you how you're doing, you need to say to them, I am great. I am blessed. I am prosperous. I'm surrounded by the favor of God. You need to speak life over your life. Because what you consistently talk about, that's what you're moving towards. Amen. Could it be that if you would simply change what you're saying, you would see a dream come to pass? You would see a breakthrough. You would see a healing. You would see a restoration. You would see a victory. Some of us have spent years saying negative things over our life. Yeah. I can't break this addiction, Pastor Steve. My marriage never going to make it. I'm never going to get out of debt. You've got to send your words out in a new direction. You've got to realize you've been prophesying the wrong thing. You've got to get in the habit of making these positive declarations over your life. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. I'm going to close today by saying this. Another important part of taming our tongue is we need to be careful what we say about other people.
Amen.
In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 29, look what it says. Let no foul or polluting language, nor evil word, nor unwholesome talk ever come out of your mouth.
Yep.
But only that which is beneficial to the progress of others, that it may be a blessing to those who hear it. In other words, you can't tame your tongue in one area and say, well, I'm going to speak life over my life. I'm going to speak blessings over my life, but I'm going to speak cursing and I'm going to be mean and rude to everybody else. It don't work like that. Before you say something, you need to ask yourself, is what I'm about to say going to be beneficial to somebody else? Is it going to build them up or is it going to tear them down? Is this comment going to make my spouse feel better about himself or is it going to just feed my ego? You see, how many of you know, listen to me, this will help you, you can't say everything that you feel. Your emotions will get you in trouble. When someone gets on your nerves and you feel irritated, you feel annoyed, instead of just popping off and saying, you know, things that you know you're going to regret later, you need to step back, take a deep breath, pause for 30 seconds. Think about what you're about to say. Don't speak out of your emotions. Don't just let your tongue run wild. That's the easy way out. We've got to be disciplined. We've got to tame our tongue. James 1 verse 19, it says, you must all be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to rock. Be quick to listen. Most of us do this in the reverse. We're slow to listen, we're quick to speak, and we're quick to get angry. I've heard it said, the reason we have two ears and one mouth is because we're supposed to listen twice as much as we speak. If you'll pause for a moment and let your emotions calm down, you'll realize some things are better left unsaid. Listen, you don't have to win every argument. I'm preaching to myself today. I preach to me. Because my nature is confrontation. So my nature, if you confront me, I confront you. So I'm learning. You don't have to win every argument.
That's hard.
You don't have to comment on every situation. You don't have to try and straighten everybody out. You might know they're wrong and you're right, but you've got to ask yourself, is it worth starting World War III about this? Rather bite your tongue and walk away. Do you know how many headaches you could save yourself if you just tame your tongue? If you just be slow to speak and not say things you'll regret later? I mean, you've heard the saying. Have you ever heard the saying? Sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. Do you know that's not a true statement? Do you know that words can be damaging? Words can leave scars. Words can tear people apart. Words can make people feel insecure, inferior. Do you know there are people today who are not reaching their potential because of hurtful words that were spoken over their life? They heard their parents tell them over and over again, you can't do anything right. You'll never amount to anything. You're not smart. You're a loser. Can you imagine a parent speaking to his child like that? Now those words are limiting their life. You know, David prayed in Psalm 64. David prayed. He said, protect me from the secret plans of the wicked. Hide me from that gang of evil people. They sharpen their tongues to use like swords. They sharpen their tongues to use like a sword. David referred to hurtful words as a sword. Here's my question. Are you building people up with your words or are you cutting people down with your words? Are you encouraging people? Are you making them stronger? Are you making them more confident? Or are you pushing them down, leaving them wounded, leaving them scarred? Listen, parents. How many parents are in the room here today? Wave your hand if you're a parent. Parents, we have the responsibility to speak words of life over our children, words of faith, words of encouragement. Yes, we have to correct them, but don't ever do it angry, in a disrespectful way. Don't say derogatory things to your children that's going to damage their self-image. Even small children. You should never say, you're a bad boy. You should never say, you're a bad girl. Don't get that in their spirit. They've been made in the image of God. God breathed His life into them. They might have bad behavior at times, but your children are good. You've got to correct them in a loving, kind way. Don't start cutting them up early in life with hurtful words. They've got enough to overcome already as it is. They've got enough people and circumstances coming against them. Let's be parents that speak life to our children, that push them into their destiny, that help to release their dreams. Amen. Our children are a gift from God. And with that gift comes a responsibility. God's counting on us to guide them, to nurture them, to help them to become who they were created to be.
Yeah.
With my children, I tell you right now, I mean, I became a father at 19. That's too young. By the grace of God, I was very careful. I never would curse my children with my words. I would always tell my children how smart you are, how good you are. You're an A student. You're going to go through college. You're going to do great things. I always spoke life over them.
Yeah.
And they all are doing wonderfully in their life. You see, taming the tongue starts at home. That means you don't say everything you feel. You might think it, but you're disciplined enough to zip it up. If you want to reach your destiny, you have to tame your tongue. You have to speak life to your dreams. Every day declare your dreams are coming to pass. It's not enough just to believe it. Nothing happens till you speak it. Final scripture, I'm going to close with this today. Romans 10 verse 10. How am I doing? Romans 10 verse 10. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto. With the heart I believe, and with the mouth confession is made unto. You believe it in your heart, but it's not until you speak it out your mouth that you get to the unto. If you want to get to the unto, confession is made unto. Unto what? Unto salvation, unto healing, unto blessing, unto favor, unto promotion, unto breakthrough. Confession is what brings the possession. Amen?
Amen?
I want to lead you in a couple of declarations today. I want you to say this like you mean it today. Get in the habit of speaking life, taming your tongue. Say, I am blessed.
I am blessed.
Say, I'm prosperous.
I'm
strong.
I
am healthy.
I
am talented.
I am
creative.
I
am confident.
Say,
I am secure.
Say,
I am disciplined.
I
am focused.
I
am attractive.
I'm
good looking.
I am
well liked.
Everybody
loves me.
I
am
favored.
I
have
a good personality. The right people are in my future. The right opportunities. They're headed my way. I will accomplish my dreams. I will overcome every obstacle. 2017, this is my year of acceleration, increase. Say, things have shifted in my favor. God is about to show me something I've never seen before. It's going to be bigger. It's going to be better. It's going to be greater than I ever imagined. I am the redeemed of the Lord, and I'm saying so today in the name of Jesus. Come on, give Him praise.
Hallelujah.
Well, I don't know about you. I preach myself happy. It happened again. I preached myself happy.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. James, do me a favor when you're back there, brother. Take a couple of pictures. Take a couple of photographs today of us in here. Will you do that?
Sure.
I want to ask you to bow your head for a moment, if you would. I'm going to ask every person, please, I want to pray for you now. I want you to close your eyes. I don't want to embarrass anybody. While we have our eyes closed, while we have our heads bowed, before we finish up the service today, we're not quite done, but right now is one of probably the most important part of our service today, because right now I want to pray a special life-changing prayer for every person in here this morning. If you are not sure where you stand with God, you are not sure if all is right, if all is well between you and the Lord, listen, I want to ask you a question. And here's the question. If you were to die today, can you say that you know for certain? Can you say that you know without any doubt? You're absolutely positive. If you die today and you know that you would go to heaven, you're sure about it. Or would you have to be honest? Say, Pastor Steve, if I died today, I hope I'd go to heaven. I do believe in God. I'm a member of such and such a church. Listen, I'm not asking you if you belong to a church. I'm not asking you if you believe in God. I'm asking you if you died today, can you say that you know for sure that you would go to heaven? Because let me tell you the good news. The good news is you can know that for sure. You can know without any doubt that when you die, one day you are going to spend eternity in heaven. You can know that all is right, all is well between you and God. You can know that every mistake and every sin you've ever committed in your life, it's forgiven, it's washed away. I want to pray for you. If you say, Pastor Steve, pray for me, I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm not going to ask you to stand up. But right where you're sitting, while we have our heads bowed and our eyes closed, if you say, Pastor Steve, pray for me, include me in this prayer, because I'm not sure what will happen to me if I die tonight, and I want to be sure. I want to make sure that I'm going to go to heaven. I don't want to go to hell. Pray for me. If that is you right now, I want you quickly just to slip your hand up high. Slip your hand up high. I'm looking for hands. If your hand is raised, you're included in this prayer this morning. Thank you. God bless you. Thank you. All right. I'm going to ask everyone who lifted your hand, I'm going to lead you in a prayer. And I'm going to ask, please say this prayer with me. In fact, church, can we all say this prayer together? Everybody, say this. Say, dear God,
I thank you
that you love me so much.
You sent Jesus,
your Son,
to
this earth,
to take my sin,
to take my punishment,
to die on the cross
in my place,
so that I could be saved.
Lord, you said
that if I would believe
that God raised Jesus from the dead,
and if I would confess
that He is Lord of my life,
you said that I would be saved.
With a heart, I believe.
With a mouth, confession is made
to salvation.
Said this, say, Lord Jesus,
I ask you,
come into my life,
come into my heart,
forgive me of my sins,
save me, Lord,
because today
I surrender my life
to you.
I confess,
Jesus, you are Lord of my life,
and that means from today
I'm going to live for you,
I'm going to follow you,
I'm going to obey you.
I'm going to do what your word says.
And Lord, I thank you.
Because I have received you,
I am now saved.
I am born again.
I'm a child of God.
God, you are my very own Father.
I'm your
very own child.
Say, heaven is my home.
And my name is written down in the book of life.
Thank you, Jesus.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. You believe it today?
Amen.
Amen. Now, praise God. Next Sunday, and we're not finished. Come on up. Yeah. Welcome, Pastor Jewel, today.
Praise God. Well, if I want to change what I'm seeing, I'm going to change what I'm saying.
Amen.
I'm going to prophesy my future. I put it right in my new prayer book, my new journal for the year. I just put it right at the top of the first page. Make your declarations daily. So let's do it. Praise God. Well, now's the time in the service where we have the opportunity to give into the kingdom of God, into the house of God. Amen. It's a good part of the service. And I know at the beginning of the year, we set goals, a lot of us. We set resolutions and in a lot of areas of our life, so, you know, in physical. Anybody decided to lose some weight this year? Yes. Kind of goes across the board often. Or eat more healthy or exercise more often. Or give up any bad habits. There's a lot of people think about physical goals. A lot of people think about mental goals, all good. Maybe you want to study more, you want to get ahead in your career, you want to read more books. And spiritual goals, we talked about it. A lot of people have said, I want to make a dedicated time. I've been more consistent with my prayer time and Bible study. And, that's a good thing. Spiritual things, we want to maybe take time to fast and pray. So we make spiritual goals. But I just want to talk to you for a couple of minutes about the area of finances. because God has a lot to say about this, and we want to improve in the area of our finances. Amen?
Amen.
And so there's a scripture in Malachi. I don't think I can read it on the back screen. It says, okay, it comes up here. From the Contemporary English Version, it says, I am the Lord all-powerful. So we hear that it's God speaking to us. And I challenge you. Say, I challenge you. Say, God challenges me to put me to the test. Bring the entire 10% into the storehouse so that there will be food in my house. Then I will open the windows of heaven and flood you with blessing after blessing. I will also stop locusts from destroying your crops and keeping your vineyards from producing. So God issues there was one more verse. Every one of every nation will talk about how I have blessed you and about your wonderful land. I, the Lord all-powerful, have spoken. So we see here that God issues a challenge to us. And I want to issue that challenge to us as God's children today. And I'm going to just give you three Bible facts about the tithe. First of all, what is the tithe? The Bible, you may have heard that word tithes and offerings. Maybe you don't really understand it, but what is a tithe? A tithe is simply 10%. Simple as that. God doesn't give us any variations. It's simply 10%. He said, I want you to bring the entire, I challenge you to bring the entire 10%. So the tithe is 10% off of anything that I get. Right? That means that every dollar I get, whether it's from earning it, whether it's a birthday gift, whether it's an inheritance, whatever it is, if it's an increase to me, every dollar I get, the first 10 cents belongs to God.
Right.
That's what a tithe is. Second of all, where is a tithe given? The Bible says that we give into the storehouse. So the tithe is given to the local church. I'm giving you some Bible facts about it. It's given to the local church. It's not, you know, sometimes people say, oh, well, I'm going to tithe, I will give 10% of my income, but I think that I'm going to send, you know, so much of it to my sick auntie, or so much of it to my favorite charity, and so much of it to my church. No, the Bible says, you, of course, can give anything you want out of offerings to whoever you want, but the Bible says that the tithe belongs to the storehouse, and the reason for that is because it's the way God has set up for the church to be financed. You know, he instituted the local church, and he said this is how it will be financed, by the members of the church giving their tithe, right? So that's where it's given. And when is it given? It's given first. Always first. God wants to be first, right? You read through the Bible, it's always first. That's the first checkout, right? It's off the gross. It's not, you know, I do everything else I have to do, and what I've got left over, I'll tithe to God. No, we tithe off the top. That's right. The biblical facts about the tithe. Amen? The Bible says in Proverbs 3, it says, honor the Lord with your possessions and with the first fruits of all your increase. So the first part of all our increase goes to the Lord, and it says, so your barns will be filled with plenty, and your vats will overflow with new wine. And then in Deuteronomy 14, verse 23, the purpose of tithing is to teach you always to put God first in your life. So God wants to be first. And tithing is a test. It is a test to see if God is first in our life. It's really not about money. It's really about our heart.
That's right.
And so, you know, get the money. Sometimes people get so caught up on the money issue, which means you have a money issue, right? Just saying. But don't think about the money. It's about God wants to know where our heart is, right? And so I don't know about you, but I want God's blessing on my finances. And he tells us that this is the way. He says in Malachi, the last part I'll read, we read it already, but he said, I challenge you, bring the entire 10% in the storehouse so that there will be food in my house. Aren't you glad you came to church this morning and you received spiritual food, right? Then, say then, after we do that, then I will open the windows of heaven and flood you with blessing after blessing. So God promises that, he says, test me. If you do this, you won't go short. I will flood you with blessing after blessing. Now, I'm not saying that you'll never have any challenges. You'll never have any things go wrong. Your washing machine won't break down or your car won't need a new tire. I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is when it comes to the end of the day, God promises that you will come out on top.
Right.
He promises that He will take care of you. And I'm going to trust Him with that in my life. How about you? And so what we do every January is we give an opportunity, because sometimes, you know, we can be, like, start out a year very strong and very dedicated and committed in certain areas and consistent and fall away. But we need to be tithing consistently is what God is asking. And we issue a tithe challenge. So we have this card and it has that scripture on it. And if you would like to make a fresh commitment and say, this year, I'm going to make a commitment that everything I have, I'm putting God first in that area, in the area of tithing. And you just say, I want to just make that commitment. If you do that and fill out one of these cards, I'm going to be sending you a book this week. It'll be a real blessing to you. So I should just come with that into the middle of the aisle. Thank you. And
if you've never ever made that commitment and dedication to the Lord to tithe.
Right.
We encourage you
not
in the moment.
Everybody. You don't need to give it to everybody. Anyone who would like.
We want those who lift your hand. If maybe you've never made that commitment to tithe, and we encourage and you challenge you to start the year putting God first in every area, in your finances, in every area, and watch and see what He will do. This challenge actually comes from God. He said, I am the Lord, all powerful, and I challenge you. God is challenging you today. I challenge you to put me to the test, bring the entire 10% into the storehouse, so there will be food in my house. Then I will open the windows of heaven and flood you with blessing after blessing. How many of you would like to see blessing after blessing this year? Blessing after blessing after blessing after blessing after blessing take place this year. Then take God's challenge. Take God. It's a step of faith. I know what it's like. When I was 17 years old, my very first job, I started tithing. I was making $400 a month. Working at the bank. And I started tithing $40. And it was a lot to me then. It was a big step of faith. I was 17 years old. You better realize this. When we were 18, we got married. For the first 9 months, we couldn't afford an apartment. So my dad, bless his heart, he took the garage and he turned it into a little apartment for Jill and I. And Robin, the baby that was coming. So he made it really nice. We had our own bathroom, a little lounge. And for 9 months, we lived in that garage. And we were happy. Just come right out the garage, go in the kitchen, eggs and bacon. But how do you know, ideally when you get married, you need your own place. Right? So for 9 months we lived in that at home, but I had been tithing. So you see, I could have said, listen, I can't afford to tithe. I need to save my money to be able to get us into our own apartment or somewhere to live. I can't tithe. But I made a decision, I'm going to trust God. And we started tithing. And do you know the next thing? I've got another job. Opportunity. I've got someone offered me another job. And instead of making $450, now I'm making $750. And then about 6 months later, I got another job opportunity. I'm walking through the mall. I saw this guy setting up furniture. I went over, the Lord told me to talk to him. I went over, introduced myself, told me my top salesman just resigned. I'm looking for a new salesman. He found out I'm a Christian. He's a Christian. Long story short, he ended up hiring me. He hired me at $1,200 a month. So I went from $450 to $1,200 in like 16 months. And then he said, Steve,
I'm going to put you on commission. You'll be earning $2,000 a month. Now, in 1984, I was 20 years old, and I was earning $2,000 a month, and I didn't graduate high school. And the only thing I can tell you is it was the blessing of God. He opened doors for me. He brought opportunities to me. And I'm going to challenge you. You can never, let me tell you, God is faithful. He's not a man that he should lie. If he said it, he will do it. If God says, I'll open the windows of heaven, I'm telling you right now, take the challenge, put God first, and watch and see what he will do. Can anyone agree with that? Amen? Amen. Well, we're gonna give to the Lord. Did the ushers go ahead already? If anyone wants that tithing card to make that commitment, please lift your hand. We'll give one to you. We're going to send you a book. What's the book we're going to send in? Norman Robinson's book, Tithing. We're going to send them that book. We're going to mail it to you. Put that in the offering bag. Wonderful. The final thing I want to tell you before we go home today, and I'm so glad you came to church today, but don't forget, this week, what happens during the week? Before we get back to church next Sunday, what do we have? What are we doing in the week? We have our connect groups. We have a connect group at Jim's house with Miguel and Natalie leading it. We've got a connect group that's in Tequesta. We've got a connect group in with Tom and Anna in Stuart. Where's Tom and Anna? I see Anna. Tom. Good to see you. Abel. Micah. They have a connect group up in Jensen Beach. We have a connect group in Palm Beach Gardens with Liz in Palm Beach Gardens, right? James got a connect group down in West Palm Beach. So I encourage you, this week we get together and we fellowship. We have a great time. We meet in homes. And if you don't have a connect group, come talk to me. And I'll tell you where the closest one is. And you don't know what you're missing out on. And then finally, the last thing I'm going to tell you before we go home. Of course, next week we're back in the ballroom. And you know, I told you I started in this business called Kiani. And it's amazing to me is that every time I go to a meeting and they teach certain principles, I always think of the church. Everything, I'm always thinking of the church. You see, I'm doing this because God called me and I'm passionate and I love to do this. So, but I'm always thinking about the church. So, Kiani is an MLM, it's a multi-level marketing company, network marketing, and they tell you this. They tell you when you join up, first thing you need to do is make your top 20 list. In other words, that's 20 people that you're going to talk to about them and share the business with. And I thought about it. We should do that at church. Yeah. I believe we need to all have a top 20 list. We need to make a list of 20 names of people that we're going to pray for them. And this year, we're going to invite them to come to church. I want you to make a top 20 list. I'm going to have cards printed, my 20 people list, where you keep it in your Bible and you write those names down and you pray for them and you pray for God to give you an opportunity and you invite them to church. Imagine what would happen if all of us had 20 people we're praying for and we invite them to church. Let me tell you, this place, that ballroom is going to be filled in a matter of months. Thank you for your enthusiasm this morning. Praise God. Lord, we thank you that you are good. We thank you that you are faithful. We thank you, Lord, for protecting us. We thank you, Lord, for guiding us. We thank you for your favor that surrounds us. We thank you, Lord, for your word that you've given us that reveals such great truths and gives us such understanding of how death and life are in the power of our tongue and how our tongue directs our life like a rudder directs a ship. Lord, I pray for every person today that your word will just your word will go deep into every heart, and that, Lord, that you will help us by the power of your Holy Spirit to tame our tongue, to bring our tongue under control, to be disciplined, to speak life and not death, to speak blessing and not cursing, to not let any unwholesome words come out of our mouth. Like David, Lord, we pray, set a watch at the door of my lips, Lord. Let me not say anything that would be displeasing to you. Let me only speak blessing and life in the name of Jesus. I thank you, Lord, as we go home today, that you are with us. You never leave us. You never forsake us. You are faithful. I thank you for your angels that protect us everywhere we go. In Jesus' name.
And everyone said amen?
Amen.
Let me tell you another good thing you need to be declaring. The angels of the Lord protect me everywhere I go. The angels of the Lord protect me everywhere I go. Say that now. Say, the angels of the Lord protect me everywhere I go.
One thing I just wanted to say, Gene, Buck, where are you? Stand up a second. Gene worked for the church for many years, and he just started a new business. And you must please just stand outside with some of your cards. It's a, he'll do pickup and delivery, personal or business, and he charges, it's a minimum of $15, and then but for church members it's 12, that's what I was going to say. I think this is a real useful business, very useful, and we pray that it'll be very successful. But just if any of you in your businesses or in your personal life need some errands run.
Praise God. Tell your neighbor, I'm glad you were here today. Tell your neighbor, I'm glad you were here today. God bless you. We love you. We'll see you next Sunday, everybody.
Thank you. Yeah. Yeah. You're ready, Obama.
Yeah, I'm loud.
Hey.
Hi.
Hi.
Hi. Hi.